At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Also, I've had this working theory that as Jimmy Sexton sold his business to go under the CAA umbrella, coaching searches since then have gotten way more Hollywood. And did you happen to check this out on the internet yesterday? They were like paying bots to go online and give their talking points. And for those that go, what do you mean by Hollywood? Kevin will probably understand this, but as someone who grew up reading entertainment trade mags, the agency plays of fighting the public fight, the narrative, and then all these things are now starting to show up. And I think even if it wasn't a CAA directive to ESPN, I think ESPN's also got an interest in this as well. ESPN, whether they're right or wrong, they believe as a television company, Ole Miss with Lane Kiffin's a better television draw. So they at least have an interest.
For sure.
And so, but what was just...
Because now he's the most important character in college football will not be involved in the playoffs whatsoever, right?
He's been the
main character for the past month.
What I kept wondering, though, is are there people out there that were going, yeah, other than Lane Kiffin?
Well, I think there's people who might tell you that the coach from Tulane will be able to coach.
Okay, but the Tulane coach is not taking the Memphis job. He's taking the Florida job. The North Texas coach is not taking the Tulane job. Literally, Ole Miss knows that their coach is the LSU football coach. Depending on what generation you are, either your school's biggest rival or your second biggest rival. And on top of that, you're going to invite...
Mississippi State's the biggest, no matter. But go ahead.
I tend to agree with you, but I did throw out the generational.
No, agree. It's state.
But it's punching up.
The Ole Miss fans that in 2025 still say LSU's our biggest rival are just saying that to get under the skin of Mississippi State.
Sure, yeah.
That's true. That's what that is.
A big rival in conference that you're going to be competing with, and there's trade secrets or whatever else that could be going back and forth.
You're seriously going to sit there and go, for up to a month and a half, we're going to let this guy, because he gave us his word, which, by the way, what good is that right now, that he wasn't going to recruit the roster? Every athletic director in the country that was polled on this said he's got to go.
Is it I saw a lot of Pepsi Coke comparisons, tons of them on Twitter, the app you used to be on, Jeffrey. If he's leaving Pepsi to go to Coke, then they're not going to let him just stick around at Pepsi.
They'd escort him out.
It's it's time for you to go. But you're saying Tulane is more the store brand. Are we talking Big K or something? And it's if you work for Big K, sure, come join us at Coke soon. We can't wait to have you get upgraded from the generic.
I would say it's not even a soda brand.
Yeah, I would say Tulane is
Tulane would be a
cereal company.
Right. I was about to say, it's he's going from Coke to go work for Chiquita Bananas.
It's got to be a beverage. It's got to be a beverage of some sort.
I think that's the other thing. This sport is so...
Orange juice? Can it be
No, I really think this is not even the same brand.
Milk? Because, eggnog?
Definitely not eggnog.
No, I really... I think this is going to another packaged good company.
And you know that. If you know us about packaged goods and sports...
It would be going from Coke to ConAgra or Pepsi to ConAgra.
but there's some similarities with what he's doing at Tulane with what he's going to be doing.
When I was at ConAgra, we didn't have any beverages. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I get, yeah.
Like, we're shopping and selling in the same places, but
buying different ingredients.
Correct.
And, yeah, I see. Yeah. Well, I mean, that would be one of the arguments people go to, but it's disappointing, like you're saying. It was not challenged on television, so it's out there for people who don't want to give it much thought, which honestly, you know, if you think about it, we're very much in a talking head. You don't have to give things that much thought anymore on some stuff on TV. So it was disappointing to see from the game day crew, because they do dictate the conversation a lot, and we'll see if they follow up this weekend with any different opinions on it.
So the only person I saw, and he kind of zigged, Booger changed his tune. So Booger, if you were watching on Friday.
Oh, Booger was.
Booger was doing the whole.
Yeah.
Let him coach. Then on Saturday, and maybe it's because Booger at this point, like, realized he is the LSU coach, like, undoubtedly. Booger's like, he's got to go.
I think once you, yeah.
And maybe that's also because Booger wanted the LSU coach to be the LSU coach. Like, hey, you've taken the job. Like, I want you to start on the job. But
well,
like,
that's what you got to do, yeah. But especially with the calendar, right? Like, what is he supposed to coach them through the playoffs and go, like, I would think LSU would not want him to be coaching in the playoffs, and I would think Ole Miss would not want him to be coaching in the playoffs.
No, I mean, LSU.
But Nick Saban does. LSU too. And ESPN does. You see why they want him there. But.
Well, we got the contract today. LSU is going to pay him out his Ole Miss playoff bonus.
That should be in there. That's fair.
No, but like, he didn't coach for LSU.
Right, I know.
They're paying the bonus.
Right, I know. He's getting the bonus.
But like, Ole Miss is not on the hook for it. I'm not saying like they have to pay Ole Miss, I think, like $3 million or whatever.
But
they're not doing that.
I see him. It's like, hey, if I leave, I'm not going to get this bonus. And it's like, all right, we'll give you that bonus. I can see that.
I actually think what just happened is like, well, if I leave, I won't make this bonus. And then I think what happened is LSU's like, we'll do it.
Right, we'll do it. No problem.
By the way, he was leaving anyway.
Well, of course. It's a negotiation. But you think he was...
I just think it is...
When do you think he came to the decision? Because we were like last week even like, oh, Florida, LSU.
The end of last season.
I think when that team last year, because, I mean, George, I know the results matter, but like, if last year's team was playing this year's team on a neutral field...
Oh, last year's
like,
team
I would say
by
last year's team minus 10...
This is a college football conversation
probably.
If there ever
but
was
my
one.
Point is, they went all in. He had first-round defensive linemen. Like, they had it. They didn't make the playoff. I think in Lane's mind, he's like, it'll never happen. And so then I think it kicked into a new gear after Georgia. So after they lost to Georgia,
right?
Then, unfortunately for Lane, his team kept winning games. And so I think the grand design, because I said this in real time, this is not revisionist history, I did not fall for the E60. The E60,
I haven't even watched it.
Yeah, forever, I didn't see it. What happened?
Won't.
It came across as like a love letter to Ole Miss and a love letter to Oxford, and I just kept screaming, the only thing that matters is he's yelling, I'm sober. Because behind the scenes, the problem with Lane Kiffin was... Or at least the narrative was, bad Lane makes the decisions only because he's drunk. The whole sobriety thing. So if you look at like when he goes on Theo Von's podcast, and I want to be very clear, I am not like I'm not minimalizing sobriety, but what I'm saying is this was being played up to make him a much more significant candidate. And guess what? Lo and behold, he was.
I mean, it was rehabilitating his image.
I think he thought it was going to be a 9-3, 8-4 team, and it would be easy to leave. Instead, they went 11-1, and he found himself going like, "I want to coach the playoff."
Right, and
I want to be LSU's coach, but I want to coach the playoff.
We'll make it there next year, buddy. Because you just, it's like that's it's a tough decision in life, and the idea that Lane is somebody who would doesn't have to make a tough decision. He made the tough decision to leave, and I know it was tough for him. I know it wasn't super easy. You want to say it goes back that far? I don't think it. I think we would have. I would hope.
He told his representation to get him out before last year.
Okay, I can. I mean, I know you have information, but the decision either way, you know, to leave Oxford or wherever, you know, it's always a tough. And that's why, like, the coaching staff, George, you talk about that. Like, it's like to just say, hey, all right, you're coming with me or you're not, and you got to decide. This is life changing, especially if you got family on the team. Like, this is stuff you've got to take some time to think about, and it's Thanksgiving weekend.
I mean, I guess Landry's transferring.
Who knows?
I mean, I do think the whole weird thing like now is like, are we hard launching the boyfriend, like the LSU thing? Like,
it's we didn't even get into that, but yeah.
Imagine he transfers. That'd be funny.
That was a funny, unique story now there's a lot more to it.
I think LSU and Florida both pulled the trigger on firing their coaches because they thought they were getting into the Lane Kiffin business. I think it's a huge part of it. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we get into the list. Also, CJ Hurt going to join us during the next hour. Let's talk some Grizzlies next. We'll do that right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Yes, it's Cyber Monday, but the Black Friday sale is still going on over at Robert Irwin Jewelers, and that means that you can get major savings on engagement rings, anniversary bands, earrings, necklaces, bracelets. Everything is 30 to 50% off. And now, throughout the holiday season, you can buy gifts that give gifts. And that means that if you spend $2,499 or more at Robert Irwin Jewelers, you get a free gift with that purchase. You can choose from a 55-inch smart TV, a Nintendo Switch Lite, a Yeti 24 hard cooler, or Apple AirPod Pro 3 headphones. They also have great financing options. You can take 12 months interest-free, or you can take up to 60 months to pay. Robert Irwin Jewelers is where we went to get my wife's engagement ring as well as our wedding bands. I'm not speaking as an endorser. I'm speaking as a customer. You will thank me with how great the shopping experience is. It's risk-free. It's entirely comfortable. I cannot say enough good things. We got my wife's engagement ring fully custom-made. We even had the sizing screwed up. That was on me, not Robert Irwin Jewelers. And they handled it completely. I don't even think my wife went 12 hours without having her engagement ring. So they'll treat you with that same customer service that they treated me. Robert Irwin Jewelers, bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices. You can shop at 5 locations, including the Diamond Showroom on Perkins Extended or at rijewelers.com. Let's get into the list. The Memphis Grizzlies. Yeah, don't look now, boys.
Uh-oh.
Grizzlies are on a winning streak. Grizzlies not only picked up 2 cup wins, but they also have won in California, not once, but twice. So dating back to the early January of 2024, the Grizzlies had not won in California. They pick up a win on Friday night against the Clippers, as well as a win last night against the Kings. And now the Grizzlies are currently sitting at 9th in the standings, but they have won 3 straight. They are 5-5 in their last 5. And most importantly, gentlemen, Zach Edey's a freaking monster. Zach Edey last night, career high, absolutely dominated the game. 32 points on 16 of 20 shooting. Missed his only free throw, but it was the classic. Sometimes people will say plus minus will lie as a statistic. Last night, it was 100% spot on because it was very simple. If Zach Edey was on the floor, the Grizzlies were controlling the game. When Zach Edey went off the floor, the Kings made their run. And then last night, he had a couple of key blocks late. Some great defensive stops, a couple of big buckets where he's going over the top. And really for me, this kind of solidifies, I think it was a preseason take that we had in the summer, George. I felt like this year was going to be the Zach Edey between his sophomore and junior year at Purdue. And so far, the returns are starting to look pretty good.
Yeah, you could definitely say that. Real quick on the block, just because I was listening to the game last night, with our guy there, Eric. Did he get credit for that block on that heave at the end of the half?
That's a good question. I don't know. He finished with 5.
Then I think he did.
Okay, so.
But he was.
So I didn't know. I don't know how the statistics work now. Like, it doesn't count as a shot, but do you get the defensive?
Right. Eric was asking that exact thing. He's like, okay, so we don't count this as an individual player shot anymore. How does this count going the other way if somehow any of the gigantic freaks in the NBA are able to get a hand on it? I mean, I think the only 2 guys you can think of, or at least I can, would be Zach and Wemby that could get a hand on one of those.
No, I mean, like, you could just tell, like, last night the Kings were extremely bothered by his presence on the defensive end. You could tell, like,
it felt absolutely.
Like LaVine was just pulling up and trying to take 15, 16 footers all night. No one really wanted to go into the lane. And, you know, when the Grizzlies fell behind, they went to Edie on the offensive end to regain the lead, and then he had several key blocks late. Also, Coward was another animal on the defensive end. Vince has just been really good. I mean, like, it's one of those situations where you do not want to overreact to the fact that the Grizzlies have beaten the Pelicans, the Clippers, and the Kings in succession. But I do think your eyes tell you they look significantly better.
100%. And another guy who's been really great in this stretch, Jaren has been awesome. Last night, there were points in the game where Jaren would just get to the block, get to his spots, and just make them pay. It was awesome to watch, awesome to pay attention to. I mean, they've just been playing good ball. And I mean, even with in the two games, those being the Pelicans and the Clippers games, even going down by 15, 16 points at times, one of the other big, I'd say, talking points and good things that we've noticed from this team over the weekend, they've got real resolve.
Yeah.
They have a real edge to them where even when they go down by a pretty significant margin, it's not really phasing them all that much. They aren't letting those stretches get them in such a bad funk that it affects the rest of the game.
No, there's no question, because they fell behind. I mean, they were trailing basically the entire game against the Clippers and then took the lead in the fourth quarter and hold on there. But it felt like they trailed much of the game against the Pelicans. And
especially after that second quarter. That second quarter against New Orleans was disgusting. It was gross.
So now the Grizzlies will have at San Antonio tomorrow. Has Wemby come back?
I don't think so.
Let's see.
Let me check.
Castle's still out. They have...
Man, Castle's so much fun to watch.
Yeah,
that's a shame.
They're still saying Wemby. Yeah, he's not returned.
Okay.
They still expect to miss multiple weeks.
Can I tell you something disappointing from the stretch here?
Yes, you may.
Is that none of these games were at home, right? We went through a Thanksgiving weekend with no home game. We're going through these. It's some of these moments that are happening that we're seeing and experiencing are going under the radar, right? Yes, there's been a lot of noise with Lane Kiffin and then the Ryan Silverfield yesterday and with the holiday, but it become a tradition for many families and for their when they come back in town or get a whatever to experience the Grizzlies during Thanksgiving weekend. The Grizzlies did not get a Thanksgiving. Part of what I have called the worst schedule in franchise history, which is never something you should have to say about your NBA team. But it's disappointing that it's happening, and more people. Let's get it. I can't wait to see Edie back. The game is Friday, back at home against the Clippers. And that's one of those special games that's going to be broadcast on
WMC.
Yeah, the local TV in Memphis and beyond here across the state. So that's going to be a good one. Hopefully we see a similar performance as we saw Staples Center with the Lakers.
Clippers, they're into
their new
a
building.
Yeah, the Intuit Dome.
Yeah, wherever they...
Can we also just like can we not let Kawhi do what he did, because he was awesome. He was awesome in that game on was that Saturday?
Yeah, he was awesome. Although I thought the Grizzlies late did a pretty good job on him.
Well, I think a lot of that too was some of the other shot makers that they have just weren't hit. Like Dunn was pretty awful in that game. Harden was kind of himself. It wasn't.
Didn't he take a bad three in like the last 90 seconds?
It was but I mean, is that not kind of...
No, I mean, there's no question.
Par for the course for him.
And then the other thing is, Isolo might have made, like, the coaching decision of the year. Flipped the benches at the Intuit Dome so that they wouldn't be shooting free throws against the wall in the second half. Didn't miss a free throw in the second half. Big-time coaching move.
Hey, and a friendly reminder, it is Cyber Monday. So get your Peacock subscription for cheap if you don't have one already. If you're looking to make sure you want to watch the NBA and the Grizzlies throughout the season when they play on Peacock, you can get like a $1.99 subscription still for Peacock. So a little pro tip for you as you want to and then get some NBA or NFL games as well.
All right. Speaking of streaming services, ESPN Unlimited. All right, Kevin.
Uh-oh.
It took 25 minutes on Saturday night. But I finally was able to use my DirecTV, which I pay for, to get ESPN Unlimited, and I watched Survivor Series on the Unlimited app. So there's a couple of things. Number one, can we all agree, of the big four pay-per-views, Survivor Series is the worst?
Oh, without question. Like, it could be replaced. Like, I thought for a minute it was going to be replaced by Money in the Bank as the big four.
Yeah, right? I would much rather watch Money in the Bank.
Right.
Every single year. Okay, the other thing is,
the flawed concept of Survivor Series. I think the timing of it's great, but yeah, the concept didn't modernize with the business.
Yeah, and the other thing that
it was like the All-Star Game for wrestling is what initially was, and obviously All-Star Games across the board aren't doing it as well. So.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I guess the bigger problem that I had with it is like I was mainly tuning in for Dom and Cena,
right?
And I thought that delivered. I thought, you know, I mean, like. Again, you've definitely been right that the Cena walkout, you were 100% right. But it's not like I've been kicking and screaming. I was open to the heel
just
turn.
Being optimistic that it could turn around.
Right, and it didn't. With that being said, when they hit his music, I was still in. The one thing that I did like about the ESPN Unlimited, I could watch Survivor Series and then go quad box. I could watch, they put three football games on. So, like,
if I was
in the matches that I didn't care about, like Cena obviously got full sound, full screen.
Well, that would be Dirty Dom too. Like you're talking about, those are the like two guys to tune in for right now, right?
I mean, Dom, when Dom went on First Take and I think the new host is Cornette, he just started ripping on his dad and calling him a deadbeat dad. Like she didn't like know the angle or anything. Like that was laugh out loud funny.
Oh, because Dom's just because it was like how great. Yeah, he was. He definitely. That was awesome. If you haven't seen that clip.
If you also haven't seen the video of Dom at his actual wedding, not a kayfabe wedding, his actual wedding to his high school sweetheart in San Diego, his own friends and family booed him as he walked out, getting actual heat at his own wedding. Like that's good stuff. No, I'm open to, it is weird. Are they pushing it too much? Like, even as a wrestling fan, I feel like I'm getting overserved with ESPN.
I mean, they're pushing it a lot. The question is, are they capitalizing on that? Are they getting new people?
No, I will say it does feel like the Nick Khan of it all, the selling to Endeavor, whatnot, it has become more about, like, cheap pops and whatnot. Like, I felt like when we finally ushered out Vince, like we kind of got back to storytelling and like things that made sense. And it's like, it feels like really ever since like Nick Khan and that crew's taken over, it's like, nah, man, it's like, what can we just get? Like gets the biggest headlines.
Yeah. I mean, that's for sure. But I mean, we're getting closer. The big thing is like John Cena's last match is coming up, right? It is. I'm not saying to mark your calendar. We've already got the calendar marked because it's supposed to be happening on the day of Taylor Swift's birthday, right?
Yep, December 13th.
So December 13th is John Cena's last match. We still don't know the opponent.
Gunther, right?
It's going to be Gunther, yeah. They put out the bracket, though, finally. They were doing a tournament. This was absurd. We've been meaning to talk about this for weeks, but WWE was doing a tournament, right?
Yes.
And the winner would wrestle John Cena. But they did not release a bracket until like this week. Like, there's not been a bracket on this.
Yes.
But we finally see the bracket now. And we know the final four. I think we have Uso, and I know Gunther's in there, LA Knight. But Gunther's the one that reportedly is going to do it. But, you know, anything can happen. And it does make sense. Gunther retired Goldberg. He will probably retire John Cena. But, yeah, I think this last stretch, I got to give Cena some credit here. This end of like, all right, well, this is what he should have been doing all year, is like wrestling Dirty Dom, wrestling Gunther, wrestling the people who are going to be around here, still wrestling for a while. So,
yeah, I would say this also. While I've not loved the storylines, I have ever since SummerSlam, when he had the main event with Cody, I have thought his matches have been bangers.
It feels like ages ago that John Cena was a heel now, but it was all this year, and it's almost over. So December 13th, that's Saturday night. That's another reason to get Peacock for cheap, I guess.
Yeah, there you go. All right, let's take a quick break. Let's get back to the Grizzlies conversation. We'll do that with CJ Hurt next, right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM. Yeah.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Santa's not the only one delivering joy this season. Unwrap a new home with help from your Las Vegas realtors. More than 15,000 members are ready to show you. There's no place like new home for the holidays.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
ESPN. CJ Hurt's a Grind City Media personality. You can catch him every weekday on the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt. Follow him on the Everything app at ConRadicalness. CJ, where does Zach Edey rank amongst NBA bigs right now? First or second?
Whoa.
Right now, we're talking. Let's start with all time.
Yeah.
Is he above Shaq yet on your list or not?
He's there, right?
Man, I'll be honest, man. I wasn't expecting to get into it, but let's get into it. I got him somewhere between Mike and Olajuwon.
Yeah, no, that's a great call. Akeem's wildly underappreciated. Maybe some Yao Ming?
Oh, way above Yao.
Oh, yeah, good point.
You know, way above Yao. Did Yao ever go for, 30 and 17 and 5? Probably, but, he didn't do it last night. He didn't do it, so that's all that matters.
No, I mean, I think that's the other aspect of it, because we kept talking about how, all right, let's wait till reinforcements come. But even as somebody who was pretty pro Edie during the whole draft process, I was starting to really get concerned that as bad as it was going, there was going to be too much expected of Zach to fix things. But so far, and again, level of competition, all the normal caveats, but what I think is undeniable is when he's on the floor, they look so much better.
Yeah, and listen, I'm trying my best not to rain on any parades here, but we do gotta take into consideration.
Absolutely.
Who they playing.
And the front courts
said,
and the front courts he's played in particular. Yes.
But even with that being said, last year he wasn't asserting himself in this way. Last year you could ride Zach Edey out. Zach Edey might want to post up on the block. He might want to post up with a foot in the paint. But you could nudge him out. He's not allowing opponents to nudge him out. Last year, because you could nudge him out, he would then catch the ball, and then he would have to pit the ball on the floor a couple of times and try and go into a move. And he just wasn't as effective doing that. This year, in these past three games in particular, he's catching the ball. He's just turning and going straight up with it. He's doing all of the hard work before he even touches the ball. And then when he gets the ball, he's going up and finishing. That's one really cool thing that he's got going on right now. The other one is he's just telling dudes, hey, these lob passes that the Grizzlies are throwing to Zach Edey are atrocious. And he's just like, nope, just throw it up there. I will catch it, and then I will keep it high, and I will finish. Nobody is going, I'm not bringing it down. I'm not trying to dribble to take a gather step so I can go back strong. No, I'm just going to catch it and go up real strong. And that stuff he was doing at Purdue when he was, two-time Wooden Award winner, seeing him do that in the NBA against any level of competition, against any team, that makes you feel good if you're a Grizzly supporter, and it should.
What else do you like that you're watching right now?
For the Grizzlies?
Yeah.
Up until last night. I felt like Vince kind of pressed a little bit last night and took a bunch of, like, why would you take that shot? But up until last night, Vince Williams Jr. is having a really, really good season. And I understand that circumstances dictate he be on the ball and serving that point guard role. I'm curious to know what it looks like for him when he gets back into his or into the role that the team will have him in, assuming everybody ever gets healthy on this cursed team. I'm curious to know what that would look like. But Vince has been a real bright spot for me. And I like the Cam Spencer pick coming out for the Grizzlies. I had real questions. I think you still have these questions about what he will be defensively, if he could, if he'll get played off the court in big moments because he struggles to defend. But so far, like, he's more than made up for his defensive woes with being a legitimate sharp shooting threat from deep. I think he's been really, really good as well. Oh, and no, you got to throw Cedric Howard in there.
Yeah.
Right? You got to throw him in there.
Yeah, I was thinking more of like the last couple of weeks because, I mean, I, you know, even though Cedric's maybe not going to shoot 75% from three for the rest of the season, I think that's been a pretty steady, consistent, you like what you see. Even if it's not a big stat sheet night, I feel like he's just always involved.
Yeah, man, and he impacts the game in a handful of different ways. He's somebody who will stick his nose in there, not just defensively and rebound, but offensively as well, gets you some extra possessions. He is everybody, well, not, I don't want to say, want to get too hyperbolic with him, but he is everybody's peer athletically.
Yes.
Right? Like, he's not athletically overwhelmed by anybody. You can see, okay, when he figures it out, when and he's a smart player, when all of this slows down for him a bit, you can see that there's something really, really cool there that bodes well for this Grizzlies franchise down the road.
All right, let's talk about Saturday.
Oh, man, do we have to?
Well, this is the first question, because I asked Giannotto, too. Are you at all concerned with the leadership of the Michigan football team?
I'm not. It's 2 years in. They got the quarterback that they want. They've got a star wide receiver who's also a freshman. There are a lot of freshmen running around in prominent positions for that Michigan football team in the secondary and on the offensive side of the ball as well. The issue is, and it's Michigan, man, it's crazy to say this, and it's the year 2025, but the issue was that their fullback wasn't playing.
Well, and then
run the ball. So Bredesen's not playing.
Yeah.
Your top two running backs aren't playing.
Yes.
Bredesen is a tremendous blocker for you. Your top two running backs, that's about 1,800 yards of rushing that you're just without. Michigan at one point, I'd have to check and see, but at one point, Michigan led the nation in rushes of over 50 yards. And that with eight. So you've got that you're missing. That's where your big plays come from. That's where the explosiveness comes from on this Michigan team. You got a true freshman quarterback. He's just not ready to push the ball down the field quite yet. So, but being without both of those running backs and your star fullback, man, like that was an uphill battle, and that was tough.
Did you?
You got 9 wins.
I was gonna say, did you freak out about the touchdown call?
No.
The touchdown call that everybody was going. The fourth down where Smith catches it.
Yeah.
Then bobbles it.
I thought it was a touchdown. I don't understand how it could have not been. It looked like he bobbled it, but it looked like he got across after he had bobbled it. So, like, I wasn't – that game didn't – like, Michigan didn't lose that game because of that. Like, Michigan lost that game for a couple of different reasons, and one of them is, you know, Ohio State was just a better football team that day. So now I'm not tripping about that play. Was a good. He routed that cornerback up. Like, that was a tremendous route that he ran to get the ball into the end zone on that fourth down. But yeah, it looked like he was in to me.
Is it clear in your mind Ohio State's the best team?
No, I don't think Ohio State should be in the playoffs.
Okay. I like that take.
If you want to talk about Indiana or somebody like that, and Georgia. If you want to even throw Alabama in there,
well, I guess
let's attack it from this angle. Like, who are you putting your faith in? Like, all right, who's going to bring down the big bad wolf?
I don't think there is a big bad wolf.
Come on now.
I think that everybody is the good teams this year, and it happens sometimes. I think they're all close. Right, it wouldn't surprise me at all if Oklahoma found a way to get to a college football national championship, assuming they get into the CFP. It wouldn't surprise me at all if Texas Tech found a way to get there, assuming that they get into the CFP. Last year, we saw those two terrible teams make it to the to the national championship game, and I don't think before the playoffs started, we thought collectively that those two teams would be where they were. But you look up and Ohio State throttles Tennessee in that first matchup and they start rolling, and Notre Dame goes out there, unfortunately, and takes care of business in their games. And you look up and it's, you know, Notre Dame and Ohio State for some ungodly reason. And that's what it is. So once we get to this point in the season in college football, this is only the second year of the 12-team playoff. And I don't want to speak for anybody else. I, for one, can't wait till we get to a 16-team playoff.
No.
Once you get to this point, I think everybody's good, and it's you just got to go out there and take care of business, man.
We'll have to shelf that 16-team playoff talk for later, because I know you just want that so Michigan can get into the playoffs. But the
I don't think Michigan would get in this year. I want it because so Vanderbilt can get in, Kevin.
Oh, that's – well, I mean, it's more important. It's more meaningful if you get into the 12-team.
I am so mad at SMU. SMU on Saturday night, the fact that they could not just beat Cal, like, this isn't even a gambling aspect. This is like, we're now going to have to watch 7-5 Duke go into a conference championship game. I think the spread's under 3. Yeah. And we're going to have to sit there and deal with the fact that, listen, I know everyone's going to point out, well, this opens it up for JMU. I just find it hard to believe they're not going to put the ACC champion in. And like, the fact that I'm going to sit there and watch that on Saturday night is going to drive me insane.
I don't find it hard to believe at all. How are they going to, like, finagle that? And if they do find a way to finagle it, I want to see them do it. Like, I find this to be hilarious that we could get 8-5 Duke.
And maybe it could lead to, like, there was a push over the weekend to have the ACC declare who plays based on, you know, the rank. Because the highest ranked team is Miami.
Like,
Miami's,
to send their rep.
Right, so that you can have your, you know, we do this in college basketball where we rig the conference tournament so that the teams that are the best teams.
It's currently rigged for Memphis now.
Correct.
And the American.
So maybe it's possible that they try to do that, because the big hangup is if Virginia's loss to NC State would have counted, they would not be in and we wouldn't have to be dealing with this Duke aspect of it.
Okay,
too bad, so sad. We dealing with it, baby.
Yes.
Let's go Dookie.
We had to deal with Syracuse and Boston College. Hey, every week matters. The fact that they played week 14, that game impacted the standings.
We'll look and see what
Also, it's ridiculous that Miami and Duke in the same conference shared, what, 2 common opponents?
That sounds correct, because I was trying to do the – I mean, that's what happens. What, we got to – is it an 18-team ACC?
You got to go across the country. And
18
play
teams
ACC
with 8 games.
In California. Like, come on, man. Come on.
All right. Well, hey, let's go do a quick choose your own adventure. Do you want to talk about the new coach at Arkansas or the new coach at LSU?
Which one do you want to talk about?
Man, I'll talk about either one of them, man. I mean, we know which one made the better hire. That would be LSU, right? What's going on at Arkansas? What's going on there? What's going on in Memphis? What should Memphis do? I want a coordinator that I haven't really heard of.
You want a coordinator or a head coach?
Coordinator.
Okay.
That's the formula, as Jeffrey likes to call it. That's what worked with Fuente. That's what worked with Norvell. You get that up and comer who has something to prove in Memphis, and somebody you believe in that has the potential. That's the direction that the Tigers need to go.
They just got to get it right. I don't think that – I think you will be fine with whomever, provided that the results are good quality results. This is such an important hire. Every time if you're a Memphis or if you're one of these other programs outside of the power conferences, every single time you have to hire a new football coach, it becomes the most important hire in your program's history. Because all of the money is in the power conference. And you've got to be relevant in football. Your football program has got to be making money for you to be to even get a sniff from one of these power conferences next time realignment comes up. So you've got to be got to make sure you do this the right way. I think that in the past, Memphis, the past what, three times, they used the hiring firm for Fuente. You believe they used one for Norvell. And I can't remember if they used one for Silverfield or not. But if they did, I know Silverfield was on staff, so they may not. But you've got to get it right. And you got to do your due diligence. And you got to, now, because of the way that the portals work, you got to do it quick. Like, it needs to be announced soon. And by soon, it's tomorrow and the day after that. Because the transfer portal opens the 2nd, and it closes on the 6th, the 2nd of January, and I do believe it closes on the 6th of January. So you don't want to be behind in that aspect, because that just messes up your recruiting cycle. So you got to get it right. You got to do it the best way. And I trust that the Memphis Athletic Department, because they've done it with different athletic directors here the past 3 times they've hired a coach. I trust that they'll find the right guy.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what Ed Scott can pull off here.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting. This is a big time decision that he's got to make.
Now, how much money will you make if Ole Miss wins the national championship? To go back to the college football playoffs for a minute,
I won't make any money. How much money will you make?
I'm not making any, but you know, you see, Lane Kiffin's going to make about $1 million. He's still going to get his bonuses from LSU.
He's still going to get the bonus?
He's still getting LSU's going to pay him the bonuses. So do you think Lane, CJ, do you think Lane is – I mean, he's cheering for the money, right? Money over everything. It doesn't matter that they didn't need him to win the national championship. Does he want to win the national championship, Ole Miss to win the national championship so he gets the $1 million, or does he want them to lose so he can feel better about himself that they really needed me, I'm the greatest coach?
So hold on. I want to make sure I got this right. LSU is going to pay Lane the $1 million if Ole Miss wins the national championship?
Correct. Yes. Because
Why the hell would they do that?
Negotiated that he still got his bonuses, because he's probably at the table with them saying, hey, look, I don't want to leave because I can get these bonuses if we win in the playoffs. And they're like, well, no, you know, and so LSU is like, yeah, we'll cover those for you. Whatever Ole Miss does, we'll cover those same bonuses that you would have got in the playoffs.
I would think Lane would want the middle. I would think Lane would want the $1 million to not work. Like, think about that.
Well, he's not working.
You get $1 million and you're not working at that place anymore. He's working, but he's not working at Ole Miss anymore. I would think he'd want that. That's what I would want also. There's not much in this world I'd want more than $1 million.
that's fair.
That's fair. I think he's so egotistical. I think he wants it to be like, see, they needed me. Like, I should have been coaching. I would help them.
They should have let him coach. Do you think they should have let him coach, CJ? Think they would have let him coach?
No. Hell no. You don't get to do that. You don't get to go there from Ole Miss, from Oxford. They got a rivalry game. They battle, what is it, the Magnolia Bowl? They got a trophy. You don't get to leave me and go to a place we play for a trophy and think you get to keep coaching. Also, you don't get to leave me, period, and get to keep coaching. I'm a Michigan fan, so I know something about this. 1989, both Schimbeckler stood at that microphone. That is going to be a Michigan man to coach this Michigan program. And Steve Fisher, Glenn Rice, and Michigan Wolverines went out there and won it all, baby, 1989. But an interim coach took the interim off of it. Steve Fisher went out there and grabbed the Fab Five. The rest, as they say, was history. So I guess precedent in college sports, maybe not in college football for this type of stuff, but in college sports, there is a bit of a precedent for this type of behavior on what you do as an athletic department. And it can turn out good for you as well if you do the right thing. So I wish those boys down to Oxford all the best. It's going to be fun seeing what the committee does with them. If they drop them in the rankings, I can't imagine they leave them out of the playoffs entirely.
No.
But even if they drop them in the rankings some, I look forward to seeing how far Ole Miss goes in the CFC.
Yeah, it's for this month, LSU is still paying – They're paying 3 football coaches still. Ed Orgeron, that's his last month. He's getting a check from his buyout from LSU. They're still paying
money
three coaches. They got money to pay your bonuses. Do you think is Arkansas paying Ryan Silverfield's bonus if there's a ninth win?
I'm gonna bet no.
I'm also gonna bet no.
All right, my man. We appreciate you.
All right, y'all.
That is CJ Hurt of Grind City Media. When we come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, boys, for today's Done Tell These Story, tell your story. We got to go to Browns defensive tackle Shelby Harris. When he was asked postgame about Juwan Jennings, he fired it up, said, "He's a hoe, and I want that known." He also continued to say, "I know why the guy got punched in the dick."
Whoa.
It's got to be really, really tough to be a Browns defensive player, right? To, like, know that y'all are, like, a really good unit and, like, it just does not matter at
ho,
all.
Ho, ho, ho. We got it's everybody's in the holiday spirit.
A lot of hoes
over the weekend here. But don't you dare call.
Don't you dare.
Call Lane
Even though I don't think he did. I think he was just referencing
I don't think
ludicrous.
He did either, but I think he just, ho, 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 everybody. Merry Christmas.
Want to thank CJ Hurt for joining the program. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Kevin, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Santa's not the only one delivering joy this season. Unwrap a new home with help from your Las Vegas realtors. More than 15,000 members are ready to show you. There's no place like new home for the holidays.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.